Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Every year as we prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth, we usually spend a lot of time, not to mention a lot of money too, in the weeks leading up to December 25th. Someone has said about this time of the year, if it weren't for stress, I'd have no energy at all. I often wonder, and this is what I want us to consider today, have we done more to prepare for the celebration of Jesus' first coming than we have to prepare for his second and final coming? That's what I want you to be thinking about. Our main text today comes from the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter in that book, Revelation chapter 22. It speaks to us about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And that's what I want to focus on today. But before we get into God's word, as we always do, let's ask for his blessing, his wisdom, and his understanding as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father. We thank you that you have given us this freedom to gather together, and we are thankful for your word, which teaches us the truths we need to hear, the most important of which not only was Jesus born to come and to live in human form, to set the example for us, but also he came to die on that old rugged cross so that we might have an opportunity to be saved through his precious blood. Thank you for that. And Lord, it's great to be able to celebrate the birth. It's great for what Christmas represents and all the good things associated with it. But today, Father, I want us to focus in on the fact that not only can we celebrate Jesus' first coming, we need to be ready for when he comes again. And we are looking forward to that day. So, Father, help me. Help me to share this message in a way that would be pleasing to you. And I pray it'll be helpful and challenging and encouraging to all who are here and all who are listening. And we're going to give you all the praise in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Some people may have a better idea of how to prepare for a great Christmas celebration than they do to how to prepare for Jesus' second coming. I mean, think about it for a moment. When it comes to Christmas preparation, if you boil it down, it's pretty basic. People do most or at least a combination of these things. They decorate, purchase and wrap gifts, make plans with the family, attend a church service, cook, eat. Boy, I like the eat part. In fact, I subscribe to the theory I practice today. A balanced diet's a cookie in each hand. I like that. Then we open presents, and then finally we clean up. And you and I would essentially be ready for Christmas if we just paid attention to those things. And even if we're not ready, Christmas is still going to come. Thursday will be here. In a similar sense, please realize that even if we are not ready, Jesus is still going to come back someday. And that's why the title of this message is, Ready or Not, Here I Come Again. As Christmas approaches, I don't know if it's done this way. It used to be when I was growing up, and for generations, children were often warned by parents and grandparents and others, you need to be good, because if you're not good, instead of candy in the stocking, you're going to get coal. You ever hear that before? And that prospect was supposed to spur them on to good behavior. The prospect of Jesus coming back has a lot more on the line than candy or coal in a stocking. We're talking about eternity here and where we will spend eternity, either in heaven with Jesus and around God's throne or in hell. And because of this, there are some basics to keep in mind for a person who wants to be fully prepared for Jesus' final return, and that's what we're going to talk about. So number one, we need to know without any doubt that Jesus is coming again. Now you say to yourself, yeah, but I know that. Well, do you? Do you live as if you know that? Do you live as if you're excited for the fact that Jesus is coming again? In our text in Revelation 22, three times in this chapter, Jesus said, I am coming quickly. Now I'm just going to read verse 12 of Revelation. That's one of the times Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to reward each one as his work deserves." As is emphasized in other New Testament books, Jesus is coming back. Now, maybe you've heard this before. I've heard it before. The books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, could be summed up by saying, Jesus is coming. The New Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John proclaim Jesus is here. And the remaining 23 books of the New Testament tell us Jesus is coming again. And there can be no doubt about that. God's word tells us more than 300 times Jesus is coming again. Jesus himself promised this to us. John 14, beginning in verse 1. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." I kind of like the old King James version, mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be." Did you hear that promise? Jesus said, "I'm coming again to take you home." It was just a few weeks later that angels repeated that promise. It was 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus met with the apostles for the very last time. Luke says that Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for the coming power of the Holy Spirit. And then beginning in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, we read what happens next. "And after he," Jesus, "had said these things, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, then behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" It's true. Jesus is coming again. But when he comes, some will rejoice, while many will be terrified. Paul speaks about both situations. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, Paul said, "For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we always will be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So for the Christian, it's going to be an exciting experience when Jesus comes back. It's going to be a time of rejoicing. And we can know, as Paul says, we will always be with the Lord. Now, does that excite you as a follower of Jesus? I mean, if you're a Christian, it should. However, there's also an old biblical principle that will trouble many people. We will surely reap what we sow, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. That means, for those who do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel, it will be a completely different experience. And Paul addresses that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Here's what he writes. "For after all, it is only right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, along with us, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These people will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's going to be the unpleasant part of Jesus' return. In his book, Just Like Jesus, Max Lucado writes that many years ago, a man conned his way into being a member of the orchestra of the Emperor of China, although he couldn't play a note. Whenever the group practiced or performed, he would hold his flute against his lips, pretending to play, but not making a sound. As a member of the orchestra, he received a salary. He enjoyed a comfortable living. And then one day, the emperor decided that every person in his orchestra was going to play a solo. Well, the man was terrified. So first he pretended to be sick, but the royal physician wasn't fooled. On the day of his solo performance, the imposter couldn't handle it and he took poison. The explanation of his suicide led to a phrase that later found its way into the English language, and you've heard of this before. He couldn't face the music. Today, someone can pretend to be a part of God's orchestra by just blending in with the crowd, by going through the motions. No one notices because you say the right things when you need to. You go to the right places, you hang out with the right people. But there will come a day when you and I must face the music. And on that day, we will stand alone before God and give an account of our lives, our decisions, and most importantly, whether or not we have a relationship with Jesus. Some will rejoice. Others will be terrified. They will reap what they have sown. They gamble with their future and they lost. You see, God allows us the freedom to make our own choices. But as Christians, we have a responsibility to warn the world that Jesus is coming again. And I just don't believe we will do that unless there is no doubt in our minds that Jesus is coming again. So that's why that's the first point. Now, as far as being ready is concerned, the main point throughout the entire New Testament teaching on the second coming of Jesus is this. Everyone needs to be ready now. That's it. That's the main point about Jesus' second coming. Be ready now. Now, I realize that there are many predictions. There are many calculations concerning when people think that Jesus is coming back. Let me remind you today of what Jesus said about this in Matthew 24, verse 36. It was Jesus who said, "But about that day and hour," talking about his second coming, "no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." So if you hear someone talking about the fact they know when Jesus is going to return, false prophet. Because Jesus said no one knows. That's why we have to be ready now. That's why it's important. And our text gives us some ways that we can be ready right now. One positive lesson of the passage can be summed up this way. Worship God and keep the words of this book. That's what was written in John, as John writes in Revelation 22, begins the second part of verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" In other words, what he was saying, don't worship me. Bow down, prostrate yourself, give honor and praise to God. Put him first in all that you do. You see, God stands waiting and willing to forgive, and he has patiently postponed his judgment to give us more chance to come to repentance, more opportunities for other people to see and hear a sermon through our lives. Eventually, that patience will be replaced by justice, and evil will be punished. Many, many years ago, Billy Graham was Johnny Carson's guest on The Tonight Show. At one point, Carson asked Billy Graham, said, "Billy, what do you think would happen if Jesus came to earth again?" Before Billy could answer, he said, "I'd bet we'd do him in again." And Billy leaned up in his chair, and he said, "You know, Johnny, Jesus said that he would return, but the first time he came in love, the next time he'll come in power, and no one will do him in." I like that answer. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus returns, he won't have to announce his arrival. He won't have to say anything, for every eye will see him, and every knee will bow before him. That's what the Bible teaches. So when you see a glorified being riding on a cloud with trumpets announcing him, trust me, that will be Jesus, and you're going to know it without a shadow of a doubt. And the good thing is that we can know right now we still have a chance to be ready. So let me encourage all of you in this way. Make sure your robe has been properly washed. They may be thinking, what in the world are you talking about, Sam? I'm talking about what John said in Revelation 22, verse 14. John said, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city, meaning the New Jerusalem, by their gates. Here's what he means by that. Each and every person carries with him or her a robe. That represents our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And because our robes become dirty, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they need washed, they need cleansed. But we face a dilemma here on earth because there is no power that can clean our robes. All of our earthly detergents are useless. I think there's a very revealing verse found in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22. Here's what it says. Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is before me, declares the Lord. You know what it is that removes the stain of our guilt? Remember the words of the old hymn? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is only those whose robes have been washed by the blood of Jesus that have the right to the tree of life. As the song says, have you been to Jesus for the saving power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Bible teaches this occurs when we are immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. The Apostle Paul gives us that perspective, this understanding, when he recalls his own conversion in Acts chapter 22. He was reflecting back on when he became a Christian. And he said in verse 16 that Ananias told him what to do about his sins. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's the Bible answer. You simply cannot be ready for Jesus to come again if your robe has not been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Lastly, if we're going to be ready for Jesus to come again, we should never quit on Jesus, but persevere to the end. Don't give up. Now, I'm sure many of you have already experienced these things that we are going to experience until Jesus comes back. You're going to be tempted to think, especially if you're suffering as a result of your faith, is this really worth it? Satan will tempt you in that way. You'll be tempted to think, well, Jesus isn't coming back. You'll be tempted to turn away. You'll be tempted to take your eyes off of Jesus while you wait. You'll be tempted to make a compromise here or there because after all, it's been a long time anyway and Jesus isn't back yet. My encouragement is don't give in to those temptations. Persevere. What's the best strategy for lifelong perseverance? We must always stay focused on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, first two verses tell us, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, he's coming. So how can we do this? Well, I happen to believe one way that will help us keep focused on Jesus is to invite others to enjoy what we have. Listen to Revelation 22, beginning verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things to the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the one who hears says, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without cost. The emphasis, I believe, is on that phrase, without cost. Some translations say freely. Because the cost over our salvation has been paid by that blood of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Until Jesus' second and final coming, we are to invite others to come, to take the water of life, to drink it without cost. Are you doing that? I think one of the greatest joys ever in this life is when you know that you've had just a little bit of influence in someone else's life. That maybe you planted a seed in that person's life that was watered by many other people. And now you know today that that person is a Christian. And you had just a little bit to do with it. You talk about a motivation, an incentive to keep focusing on Jesus. That's one of the greatest ones to have. Let me share this story about preparation. Back in 1845, England sent two ships with 138 of her finest sailors toward the Arctic. Their task was to chart a northwest passage around the Canadian Arctic to the Pacific Ocean. Now, they had not done this before. The captain, Sir John Franklin, hoped this effort would be the turning point in Arctic exploration. History shows that it was, not because of its success, but because of its failure. You see, the ships never returned. Every crew member perished. And those who followed the expedition's path to the pole learned a valuable lesson: prepare for this journey. Apparently, Franklin didn't prepare. Though the voyage was projected to last 2 to 3 years, he carried only a 12-day supply of coal for the auxiliary steam engines. But what he lacked in fuel, he made up for in entertainment. According to the ship's logs, each ship carried, and I quote, a 1,200-volume library, a hand organ, china place settings for officers and men, cut glass wine goblets, and sterling silver flatware. The silver knives, forks, and spoons were as ornate as those found in the dining rooms of the Royal Navy officers' clubs. Years later, some of those place settings would be found near a clump of frozen bodies. The sailors carried no special clothing to protect them against the cold, only the uniforms of Her Majesty's fleet, very thin and inadequate. So the inevitable had occurred. The two ships had sailed ill-prepared into these frigid waters. Ice soon coated the decks and the rigging. The sea froze around the rudder and trapped the ships. So the sailors set out on the ice to search for help. One boat was discovered contained the bodies of 35 men. Other Indians discovered a tent on the ice, and in it 30 more bodies. Many miles from the vessel, the skeleton of a frozen officer was discovered still wearing his trousers and jacket. Strange how men could embark on such a journey ill-prepared, more equipped for an afternoon tea than for the Arctic Sea. But stranger still is how we sometimes do the same. Like Sir John Franklin, we sometimes act as if life is a cruise. We have little fuel, but we have lots of entertainment. We're more concerned with looking good than with being prepared. We give more thought to table settings than to surviving the journey. We give little thought to the destination, but we make sure there's plenty of silver to go around. If we sail through this life unprepared, it will not be God's fault. He has left us detailed instructions. His word is our map, and the Holy Spirit is our compass. He outlined the route and described the landmarks we should seek. Someday, if we follow them, we will stand before Him and hear the words that Jesus said we would hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter to the joy of your master. But the sad thing is, the Bible says that there will be many who will not choose to prepare themselves for Jesus' return. They will choose to follow the broad and easy road to destruction. As I was thinking about Christmas this week and this message, I couldn't help but think, I want to ask this question: who do you think was fully prepared for that first Christmas. My guess is, on the eve of the very first Christmas, business pretty much went along as usual for most. I'm guessing people came home from work, cleaned up for dinner. Children played in the dusty streets until time for bed. Spouses rolled over and gave goodnight kisses before turning out the lights. Ho-hum, life goes on. Except perhaps for those who still had yet to comply with that crazy census. One young couple arrived in Bethlehem to comply with that census, and during their stay in a barn built for animals, Jesus was born, then placed in a manger. But who really knew about the significance? Apparently, no one. An angel woke up some shepherds to tell them about the news. Some wise men were intrigued by a strange star and followed it. But apart from these unlikely guests, no one else really seemed to notice that first Christmas. And yet we can come together this morning with wonderful news. Jesus is coming again. And I look forward to that day with anticipation. Now, I have no idea, and neither do you, if I will go to meet him before the day he comes to take us home. Whatever the case may be, I want to be ready, and I pray that you too will want to be ready. So please know without a shadow of a doubt, as we leave here today, yes, it's great to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but I want you to remember he's coming again. Whether we are ready or we're not, Jesus is returning. And the great news is that we can be ready right now if we make sure our robes are washed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And then once we get ready, don't quit on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on him, not giving up, persevering through all the trials that may come our way. It was almost 2,000 years ago Jesus came. And though many had been waiting for him, few noticed his arrival. That first Christmas might have been easy to miss. But let me tell you this. When Jesus comes again, nobody will miss it. Nobody. So my question, are you ready?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.